I'm actually going to invite all the elders and the staff and the worship leaders to come on up on stage. Wow. Why don't we come together? I invite everyone up here. As most of you know already, Martin, after 25 years here, is going to be transitioning out as senior pastor. And I invited the staff, the elders, and the worship leaders up here just to show you the leadership that we have in place. And that, and even though this is going to be a transition, God hasn't left us without leadership. And Martin has done a great job of raising up leaders and leaving us in a healthy place with people that love Elam and with a congregation that has a heart for each other. And so we're super thankful for the leadership that we do have. And we as a leadership team, as elders, as staff, as worship leaders, we just want to lean into this process. And by leaning into this process, that means we want to advocate what the Lord wants. Because this is His church. So we want to advocate for what He wants. We want to lean into this process by just being present and seeking the Lord. And we're inviting you to lean in this too and just seek the Lord and just pray for us as we lead. And if there's areas where you're like, hey, I could help, please talk to us. We'd love to have you guys help us through this. We want to just pray for Elam right now. And I just invite you to do that with us. God, we are thankful that you are here. That you are the head of this church. And you've called leaders. And Father, you've asked us to lead. And God, I pray that you give us wisdom and discernment. God, I pray for us as a church that we would come together. Lord, that we would build one another up, recognizing you are the head. Father, help us walk with Martin and Kim through this transition. And God, help us to walk with each other through this. Father, we love you and we know that you are at work. And that's what gives us hope. And that's what brings us comfort. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Now, we believe we can thrive in the midst of transition. God has given us this group of people at this time to bring glory and honor to Himself, as well as for us to help each other grow and mature in the process. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, we're in the midst of a sermon series called Journey, and we are on a journey in our walk of faith. And last week, Martin preached on that we need to grow up. And this week, we're going to talk about that we do need to grow up and we need to use our gifts. So let's dig in. Ephesians 4, 7 to 10 says, however, He has given each one of us special gifts. Other translations say that He's given us grace. Grace is unmerited favor. So the special gift that we have is grace through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when He ascended to the heights, He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to His people. Notice that it says that He ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world, or He descended to the earth. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that He might fill the entire universe with Himself. We're going to stop right there. Jesus told His disciples, hey, I need to go. And I'm going to go away. But when I go, I'm actually going to send a helper to you. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus died, and at Pentecost, He sent the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God indwelt those who came upon those that are His followers and lives inside of them. Now, here's what the passage is saying. Jesus is God. He lived in heaven. I'm going to have one soon. It's okay. Tamino, can we totally side note? Like, Tamino was having these contractions yesterday, and it was just this moment where, like, is it starting? Is it, like, it's 2 weeks? Or, like, so we're in that process. You can pray for patience and endurance for my wife, because she has to endure this, and I laugh. Every woman's like, I cannot believe you said that out loud. Sorry. She's cute when she does it, and so it makes me laugh. And actually, in other countries, they laugh if we're over pain, because, like, laughter is supposed to be the best medicine. So that's why I'm laughing. I actually have a lot of compassion in my laughter. So, what is this passage saying? What is this passage actually saying? I've derailed us. All right. Jesus is God. He lived up in heaven. He chose to come down to this earth. He incarnated. The incarnation is where Jesus took on flesh and dwelt among us. So he left heaven, came down, incarnated. He became human. And when his time was done here, he ascended back into heaven. Now, Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life on this earth. He died the death we should have died. He didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day. After that, he was seen by over 500 people, and then he ascended to heaven. And he said, I need to leave, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to prepare a place for those who are my followers. And after that, I'm going to send the Spirit of God. And that's what is meant by when he says that he may fill the entire universe with himself. The Spirit of God was given. And he lives inside of us. Jesus, when we put our faith and trust in him, gives us grace, unmerited favor, things we don't deserve. This unmerited favor brings us into the relationship that we are intended to have with God. We were created for relationship. Sin entered into the world, separated us from God. So God gives us grace through Christ to have the relationship we were intended to have. So we get this grace. But he also gives us gifts of grace for the building up of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, and I'm going to read a lengthy passage, and I don't like to do that, but this passage is just too important to summarize. So verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Did you, like, catch that? God put each part where? Just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body, okay, pay attention. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually
most important.
The most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, and while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body. Each one of you is a part of it. Every person has a place and plays a part in Christ's body. Again, there are no second-class citizens in God's economy. There's no second-class citizens in the body of Christ. See, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit and we are placed into the body of Christ. And we all have a place, a reason, We all have gifts that God gives to use to build up the body. When someone stops attending or doesn't show up often, the whole body misses out. When someone stops attending or doesn't show up often, the others miss out. Like, and this is community groups, common ground. Like, when we are not present together, we miss out. Because every one of us adds value to each other. I believe that's why Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." It's important to meet together on a regular basis because we are here to help one another grow up in the Lord. We all have gifts. We all have value. Though some of us feel like, man, do I really bring much to the table? Do I really have value? Do I really, like, I just come and I sit in a corner and I don't add anything. No, every person has value. We all have gifts. That is why the passage in 1 Corinthians 12 is so important. We have a couple at Elam that I believe just helps give us a good example of this. Gretchen Miles is a good teacher, is an outgoing personality, and people enjoy being involved in the things that she does, whether it be a Bible study or a kids program. But with all of her gifts, Jason Miles comes alongside of her, her husband, and he frees her up to use her gifts in the way that God designed her. He's got the gift of helps, and so he comes and he takes care of all the background, back scene things so that she can be the most effective in her gifting. You guys know Greg Zimmerman. He's sitting in the back doing count in attendance. And Greg frees me up to be able to do ministry in the way that I know how to. I'm not as detailed as he is. I don't think in administrative terms like he does. And he and I may butt heads, or we may not enjoy each other, but we complement each other in our gifting. He's a gift. And we all need to recognize that we are all gifts. We all add value to each other so that we can all grow in the way that God wants us to grow. Now, what are these gifts? I don't believe the Bible gives an exhaustive list of gifts anywhere. Now, we do have some lists of gifts that are in Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 1 Peter. And some of them are, you know, prophecy. And prophecy is the ability to just proclaim the word of God in a way that people understand and are able to connect with. Gifts of service or helps. You know, people that are just, they thrive in just being able to come alongside others in need. The gift of teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership. Gift of various language or the interpretation of those languages. Like, there's lots of different gifts. And it's important to recognize that all of us, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, the Spirit of God comes in us and gives us gifts that we are to use. We all have gifts. We all have value. And we need to recognize that even when we feel less important or less valuable, God says no. And in my economy, you are valuable and you are needed. Because if the church didn't have you, they would be missing out. Christ gives us gifts, one. Two, as leaders, we need to use those gifts to guide others towards maturity. I believe I talked about this before. About 13 years ago, I joined a team for the Evangelical Free Church of America where I come alongside youth workers and I help mentor and train. So I started this, like I said, 13 years ago. And when I got onto this team, I would go to these meetings in September and February. And the person that was leading, I would come to the meeting. This guy would lead the meeting. I'd walk away. I'm like, I have no clue what I'm supposed to do with any of this. And it was like, all right, I'm on this team, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. He transitioned out, and another guy came in. His name was Shane, and Shane had the gift of leadership. And Shane came in and led so well that all of us understood what role we played, what we were supposed to do. And it was just this, it was just awesome being on this team. And that's because as a leader, he was equipping us for maturity. And that's really what Paul is encouraging the leaders in Ephesus to do, is equip them for maturity. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." Paul is emphasizing the leadership gifts here. Again, like, there's lots of gifts. He's just emphasizing the leadership gifts, and he's saying, hey, it's your responsibility as the leaders to help people mature. We're supposed to be building up the church towards maturity. And this needs to happen until ultimately Christ comes back, because we won't be fully mature until Christ comes back. But the leaders are given this charge that, hey, it's your responsibility to lead in such a way that you're building them up into maturity. We need to figure out where we are in terms of our maturity. And we need to say, wait a minute, okay, I need to grow up here in Christ's likeness. And as leaders, it's our responsibility to help people walk that process. Therefore, a leader cannot be new to the faith. It's really hard to lead in something when you're not sure what it is. They need to be mature themselves. And that's what 1 Timothy 3 is all about. And we just preached a sermon series on 1 Timothy 3. And if you missed it, you can go back and listen to them on our online. But it's where we just looked at 1 Timothy 3 and said, hey, this is what a mature believer should look like. Now, here's the thing. We have so many bad examples of bad spiritual leaders. So many bad examples throughout Scripture. I mean, in today's culture. I just want to look at one of those. And we find it in Ezekiel 34. And God here is talking to some leaders in Israel. And he's not very happy with them. 34:7 says, "Therefore, you shepherds, you leaders, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so have been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherd did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm against the shepherds, and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them." God is upset with the leaders because they weren't leading well. They weren't leading their flock into maturity. They weren't taking care of them. Instead, they were taking care of their own needs. So as leaders, we need to seek to help others grow in maturity. God has given us gifts by the Spirit. And we all have those gifts, and we need to use them. And right now, we're just focused on those leadership gifts. But all of us need to use our gifts to bring glory and honor to God and build each other up. But we, as leaders, need to recognize we are responsible to help people grow in maturity. Now, the question is what's the difference, like, mature versus immature? I don't know about you, but I have an immature response when people say they want to come talk to me. I'll oftentimes, when someone says, "Hey, can we talk?" In fact, Lars came up to me. He said, "Dude, can we have a bro time?" Okay, what did I do wrong? Like, not really, but like that's how I would respond when I was younger. Is I would someone would say, "Hey, can I talk to you?" And I would have to recount everything that I've done wrong and how it might have affected them. And so I'm trying to think, okay, did I do this? Did I not do this? Okay, because I'm trying to figure out what they want to talk to me about before I let them talk to me. And that's an immature response. And the older I've gotten, the more I've been willing to say, "Hey, sure, come talk to me. I have no clue what you want to talk about, but I'm fine with that." See, there's a difference between the way mature people react and immature people react. And we just have to understand the difference. Ephesians 4:14 says, "Then we will no longer be immature like children." Like, just keep that in your mind. We will not be immature like children. Like, just, I want you to think of you as a kid or your kids as a kid. Well, yeah, your kids as being younger. I just want you to think of that. "We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." An immature person is blown about by every wind of new teaching and influenced by others and their lies. So the mark of an immature person is they do not know what they believe or why they believe it. They don't have a cornerstone for their belief. In fact, their belief system usually is rooted in their feelings, their emotions. James 1, 5 through 7 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded, unstable in what they do." They are immature and they are tossed because they don't believe God can do what they're asking him to do. They ask, they're like, but you can't really do that. Their feelings, their emotion is what their belief system is rooted in. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, "In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." The immature don't know what they're supposed to do. They haven't trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. Now, it's okay to start out immature. We all start out immature. Like, we don't become a believer. We don't put our faith and trust in Christ and all of a sudden mature. Ah, good. I'm here. I've arrived. Paul even said, "Hey, I haven't arrived, but I'm going to keep going." We just need to mature past where we start. Now, here are some marks of an immature person. They're not teachable. They think they know what they're talking about, but a lot of times they don't. And most times they're informed usually by their feelings or their emotions or what comes naturally to them. An immature person, they have a hard time seeing their own sin in the midst of dealing with issues. Relational issues happen all the time. But when the relationship issue happens, the immature person goes right to blaming. Like yesterday, we were cleaning up our house. Tamina really wants the garage done before the baby comes, and our kids love to. When we say, "Hey, clean the house," take everything from in the house and throw it out in the garage. So we were all doing some cleaning, and Cody Joy reacted in some way, and I'm like, "Cody, you need to go upstairs and go to your room," because she was reacting inappropriately, and she's like, "It's Joel's fault." Wait. And that's what immature people do, is when something happens, they look at what the other person did and they blame the other person first. Remember, like when we think of spiritual immaturity, think of our kids and how they react to things. They have a hard time seeing their own sin in the midst of issues. An immature person, they look for the mountaintop experience. They look for the spiritual experience because they don't know how to feed themselves. And so they want to go to a conference or a training, and they go to this conference and training, and it's this big spiritual high, and it's like this awesome thing, and these aren't bad. But we can't live off of them. And immature people, they look for these spiritual highs because they don't know how to feed themselves outside of that. An immature person, they don't live out what they say they believe. Integrity is saying you believe something and living in that and doing that. When we lack integrity, we say we believe one thing and we do something different. And immature people, a lot of times, they say, oh, I believe this, but then they live over here. They live differently than what they say they believe. It's based on what their feelings are versus what Scripture helps us understand of how we should live. And it's interesting, is Job had a faulty view of God, and because he had a faulty view of God, he reacted immaturely to God in the midst of his trials. Like, he viewed God as this vindictive being that didn't care about him. And so when you read through Job, all you see is just this idea that God is this vindictive being. And it's like, no, it's not who God is. He had this faulty view of God, and it made him react improperly to trials. Now, Paul says that the mature speak the truth in love and is growing more and more in Christ's likeness. So the mature, they live out what scriptures teach. They study the Word of God so they know the ways of God, so that they can live out the ways of God. The mature are quick to listen, slow to speak, because they recognize that the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. Like, think of how the immature react to anger. Think of how your kids react. And then think of how you feel like you should react. Most of us know how we should react when we're angry. I don't always do it well. Yesterday I didn't at times. Like, cleaning just does that to you. I'm not justifying it. I need to work on myself. But think of anger and how immature people react and how mature people should react. And that is quick to listen, slow to speak. Let me evaluate. Let me think through this. Let me not be ruled by my emotion, but let me be ruled by courage. Let me be ruled by patience. Let me be ruled by introspection so that I can reflect Christ in the way that I react. The mature use their gifts to build others up with joy. I don't have to. I don't have to do this. I get to do this because God has gifted me, and I can't wait to use these gifts to build others up. I can't wait to use this just to honor the Lord. The mature look out for the interest of others before their own interests. Like, speaking the truth in love really starts with, hey, I need to love. And that means I look for the interest of others versus myself. And I say, hey, is this something that needs to be dealt with? Not because I feel the need to deal with it, but because it's the most loving thing I can do for this person, even if it's a hard thing. Like, there's some conversations that I just don't need to have because it's loving for me to say, you know, this isn't really about them. It's really about what's going on inside of me. But there are times where there's a conversation that has to be had because I love them and I love them well. And mature people are able to discern that because they're fueled by love and the grace of God. That's what it looks like to speak the truth in love. A mature person will seek to grow in righteousness. God will transform us from the inside out. What we see here is that as we seek to grow and mature, we will use our gifts. As we use our gifts, the body is built up and we grow together and become more like Christ. Growth generally doesn't happen unless we're in community. Growth doesn't happen, generally speaking, if we are not in community. If we are not seeking to be known and to know others. If we're not seeking to invest and be invested in. Because that's what the body of Christ is. It's a bunch of believers coming together with all these different gifts, building in one another. And as we build into each other, we will all grow. That's the way God set up his church. And we need to lean into that. Now, to me, it's fascinating how God works. When Martin was penciling out when Ephesians was going to, when we were like scheduling out what sermons were going to be preached when, he had no idea when he was going to transition out. He had no idea when we were going to announce this. So God, in his all-knowingness, gave us this passage of Scripture at this time to help us recognize that we need each other. Like, we are going to go through transition. It happens. None of us really like transition. And in fact, it could be somewhere like, oh man, I'm out. Like, I can't do this. And it's like, wait a minute. No. God knew this was going to happen at this time. And God said, hey, you guys need to hear a message. I need to hear a message. And that message is, we all have gifts. God gave us those gifts. Now, as a leader, it's our job to, as leaders, to point each other to maturity, but it's for us to recognize we need each other to help us through transition, hopefully to build up one another and to thrive. Things aren't going to change around here. We're still about nurturing passionate followers of Christ. That's what we are about as a church. And we want people to use their gifts for God's glory. So if you've got the gift of teaching, hey, talk to Geneva. Talk to Larry and say, hey, I want to use those gifts in kids ministry. I want to use those gifts in community groups because I know that we need to use our gifts. If we have the gift of helps, hey, gift of service, like I'm going to be an usher, a greeter. Gift of hospitality, like you can come every Sunday and love on people. And God may gift you towards hospitality. It's like, yes, use it. You may have a gift in music, and you could talk to Brian, you could talk to Tamina, you can talk to Roger, and just say, hey, God has given me these gifts, and I want to invest here. Because we need it. We still want to see that kids' classrooms out here, right? I mean, that's still our heart. And so we need people just to continue to faithfully give. And if you are like, hey, I can afford to give above and beyond, you can give to that future expansion fund to help us get those new classrooms because we still want to continue to move forward even though we are in transition. As of now, we have $104,000 in that account. So we're almost halfway there because we want to see things continue. We want to see that kid's classroom out there. We want to see people nurtured as passionate followers of Jesus. Now here's the thing. Like Jesus told this story about this guy who gave money to some of his servants. And the first two servants took the money that he was given and they doubled it. It was awesome. Third person was given and they buried it. When the person who gave the money came back, they gave him back and said, here you go, I buried it. He was upset. What gifts are we burying? How are we limiting what God is doing in other people's lives because we are not willing to step out and use our gifts? Because when you look at it, that's what it's saying, is when we use our gifts, we build each other up. So if we are choosing not to use our gifts, we are not building each other up. So what gifts are we bearing? We need to use our gifts. Christ gave us gifts. And as leaders, we need to lead and help people grow in maturity. We need to evaluate our lives. We need to say, where am I being mature? Where am I immature? And how do I need to grow in this? And what gifts am I bearing? And here's the thing. When we look at what Christ has done, it should compel us and remind us that we give of ourselves because He's our example. Christ came to this earth, died in our place. And we celebrate communion not because we have to, because we get to remember what Christ had done, but also to remember the story's not done, right? We do this until He comes back again. It's a reminder that Christ is at work. That Christ is the head of this church. That Christ is the head of all churches. He's the head of the universal church. And He's in control and He knows what He's doing. And we need to lean into that. Surrender ourselves to that. Father, thank You for what You're doing, for how You're at work and how You are in control. And Father, we have nothing to fear because You are God and You know what You're doing. Father, thank You for that. Encourage our hearts today. Lord, help us to recognize the gift of grace that You've given us. And Father, how You want to use us in each other's lives. Lord, as we celebrate communion, Lord, help us to reflect on who You are and the fact You're coming back again. In Your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brian, for that message. As we know, Christ has risen from the dead, and really what is taking place in the message that was preached this morning was that because Christ has risen, He is calling us and empowering us to rise with Him, to rise in maturity, and that's done through the Holy Spirit which dwells within us. We are really at an important point here today at Elim, right here, right now. And I believe God has placed each and every one of us here at this time with His purposes in mind. And moments ago, at the beginning, you were reminded of people that were on stage and those people that are continuing in positions of leadership throughout this transition. And God is at work in them. And it's for their individual benefit, but it's also for the benefit of all who are here. And such is the same with each and every single one of you. Every one of you were given gifts, and gifts that were meant to be shared. You were graciously given abilities and wiring by God for the building up of believers that would result in praise given to God. So I encourage you to freely share with others in the body and outside the body, making the love of Christ known here and in the community and beyond. The transition that we're in, that was announced last week by Martin and Kim, will require all of us and all of us to use the gifts that we have as we move forward. And in this process, I know that some of you are in a place where you're grieving, and you're right to do so. And some of you are in a place where you're excitedly looking toward the future, and you're right to do so. If you are not one who's feeling excitement right now, but rather some grief and some sense of loss, that's okay. I want to encourage you, that's okay. You are not behind, and you don't need to catch up. You're right where you need to be. You're exactly where you need to be. I have a tension inside me that is a little bit of both. There's a little bit of sense of loss, and there's also a sense of excitement moving forward. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you are, that's where you need to be, and you'll move and develop as time goes on. For those of you who are excited right now about what God has been preparing us for over the past months and even years, for this moment and what's to come, I want to tell you three things. You are valuable, you are vital, and you will be valued. You are valuable in that God has made you and chosen you if you are His child and placed you here at this time and place. You are vital because God has gifted you. You are indispensable to His church, each and every one of you. And you will be valued. In this process, you are essential and your involvement will be welcomed. We are fitted together. We are put together by the Holy Spirit, and we will be moving forward together in this transition as one. The elders will be moving or will be meeting this next week to further define and further develop what that involvement looks like, but it's coming. So I have a sense of excitement about that, and I know some of you are in that place too. There's a greater and greater involvement that we will all have as we move forward in this transition. And as we get more information, as the elder board gets more information is coming to you. So look forward to that as well. Let's go ahead and pray again. Father, this is your church. It is yours, wholly yours. We are blessed to be here. We are thankful to be here. And Father, you are our eternal rock. You are our steady place. You are the one we count on. You are the one we love. You are the one that guides us and gives us life and breath. Father, we thank you for these things, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
And if you aren't sure what your gifts are, we have an assessment called Body Life Assessment that come talk to me, talk to Cheryl Weller. We can give you the assessment, and you fill it out, bring it back to us, and we'll have someone walk through that with you. There's been several people that have been trained in how to walk you through that assessment. So if you haven't taken it, please see Cheryl or myself, and we would love to give that to you.